Let's return, congregation, to 1 Samuel 19. Just for some context there, it's on page 286 in your pew Bibles, that after defeating Goliath and the people are singing the praises of David, Saul becomes jealous. And now there's a division in the kingdom between Saul and his men who hate David because he's a man of the Lord. The Lord is with him. And the people who love David, even as our Lord Jesus Christ, by his holiness, because he was a man of God, was hated by those who hated the Lord and loved by those who loved the Lord. 1 Samuel 19. Now the persecution begins in open. It's hidden. Now it goes out into the public squares. 1 Samuel 19. Saul tries to kill David. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I will tell you." And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand when he struck down the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow, so that they fled before him. Then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing the lyre, and Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, that he might kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, "If you do not escape with your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through the window, and he fled away and escaped. Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair at its head and covered it with clothes. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent the messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him." And when the messengers came in, behold, the image was in the bed and the pillow of goat's hair at its head. And Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me thus? Let my enemy go so that he has escaped." And Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Now David fled and escaped. And he came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and lived at Naioth. And it was told Saul, "Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing his head over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Sekou. And he said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they're at Naioth and Ramah." And he went there to Naioth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. And as he went, He prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramah, and he too stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and lay naked all that day and all that night. And thus it is said, is Saul also among the prophets? This is God's word. Congregation, may he bless us and build us by it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, 1 Samuel 19, it's another one of those chapters that's both terrible and beautiful. If my eyes were better. Well, I should have it memorized, but I don't. If you could just hold that, thank you. That works, yeah. It's both terrible and it's beautiful. It's terrible in that the evil heart of Saul now comes out in all its darkness of satanic hatred toward David. It's hidden in the previous chapters, but now Saul can't hold the darkness of his evil heart inside anymore. He hates David so much, he goes after him and he's going to kill him. And he's going to take everything that's required in his kingdom to kill him. You see, when evil lives in your heart, you can only hide it, right? You can only conceal it so long. And eventually it's going to come out. The other part of this chapter is the brightness of it and the beauty of it, that the Lord continually protects David. So no, whatever Saul throws at him doesn't work. You cannot successfully fight against God. You cannot successfully fight against the people who have God's favor, the people who trust in him, who belong to his son, Jesus Christ. That's David. He's a man whose heart is with God. His heart is set on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He believes the promise, and therefore he's safe. And so that's the great encouragement, comfort of this passage, congregation. As we live more and more in a world of open persecution of Christians, persecution is real and painful and dogs our steps like David, and he had to run all over the place and hide. But it cannot win. God wins the battle and the saints are safe. You are safe, dear believer. Safe in the hands of God. And that's what David confesses throughout his life. And also what we see in this chapter, that the Lord is the stronghold of David's life. And he's the stronghold of your life and mine. We want to see two things here. Persecution by enemies and then protection by God. David is persecuted by enemies, but he's protected by God. Now, there are four scenes here in this chapter of persecution. And we want to go through these four scenes to look at the persecution and then go over them again to see the protection. We want to go through the chapter twice with God's help. Four scenes of persecution. It starts in verse 1, the plot. The second scene is the assault. The third scene is the ambush. And the fourth scene is the raid. Those are the four scenes of persecution. First, the plot. Then the assault with the spear. Then the ambush at David's house. And then the raid of the camp of the prophets with Samuel. So the plot, verse 1, David spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Remember how David has been serving in Saul's court. First as a musician, because when Saul rejected the word of the Lord and rejected God as king, God took his Holy Spirit away from David, the spirit that equipped him for his work. And he replaced the Holy Spirit with an evil spirit, a harmful spirit. And so Saul needed to be soothed. And so they found a musician. He was David. The next thing that happened is Goliath came along and this musician became a warrior. Nobody was willing to stand up to Goliath. So David says, why are we letting him get away with defying the armies of the God of Israel? So then David becomes the hero and the women sing his praises. Saul has slain his thousands. David is tens of thousands. And so then Saul becomes jealous and hateful and he wants to kill David. Well, that's what's coming out here now again in chapter 19. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. This is a military war room sting operation effort. He gathers together the Navy SEALs or the Joint Task Force, the Emergency Joint Task Force, his men. And he says, we have to get David. Whatever it takes, we have to kill David. So all the forces now are put out against David. Now, how can you withstand that kind of assault, that kind of plot? What's really going on here, though, congregation, is that Saul is fighting the Lord. Because remember how God had told Saul through Samuel in chapter 16, the Lord is taking the kingdom away from you, Saul, and he's giving it to a man better than you. And that's the word of the Lord that Saul is fighting. So he's fighting God, not just David. He's fighting the Christ because the throne belongs to the Christ. And God has said it's not yours, it's somebody else's. So he's fighting the Christ. This is the forces of Antichrist against the Christ. And all this is put out against David to try to destroy him. Saul's in this mode that says, who is the Lord that I should listen to him? But we notice how Jonathan came to David and warned him. My dad is out to get you. Now think of that. Jonathan is brought into this plot. He can be part of this plot that would make him the heir to the throne. The smell of power. The smell of riches are here for him. And if he goes along with this plot and kills David, the throne belongs to him. The kingdom belongs to him. But Jonathan, again, is willing to risk his life and talk to his father, Saul. Say, you can't do this. And Saul relents and says, makes an oath. As the Lord lives, David shall not be put to death. Then comes the second persecution. First, the plot. Then the assault. Look at verse 9. There was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow so that they fled before him. Then the next thing we read is, then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. And while David was playing the lyre, Saul threw, he thought, I'll pin him to the wall. And he hurled his spear to try to pin David to the wall, but David eluded the spear and escaped. There was war again. David was successful. And Saul became jealous. And when we read there in verse, Well, I can't see what verse it is. There was a harmful spirit from the Lord that came upon Saul. We have to realize what's going on. God doesn't just send harmful spirits on people and say, I'm going to play games with you. But in the Bible, when Saul rejects the word of the Lord, and when he becomes jealous of God's man, that's when God punishes Saul by sending a harmful spirit on him. It's a punishment from the Lord because Saul is not willing to accept the will of the Lord, and because Saul is fighting against the Lord's people and makes the Lord's people his enemies. It is a terrible thing, congregation, to allow that spirit of jealousy and hatred to invade you, because what you're doing is opening a door, getting a foothold to Satan, and the Lord will punish you with a harmful or an evil spirit to make you become a very angry, hostile, hateful person. But when we turn to the Lord, then the Lord will redeem us. He'll forgive us. He'll renew us and give us a right spirit. So there's the assault. He throws a spear at him. Then the third thing is the ambush. David flees the court of Saul and he runs to his house. And then Saul finds out he's there and he sends his messengers to surround the house. They're going to ambush the house and they're going to take him. But Michael sneaks him away. They're surrounding the house and he lets him out the window. Perhaps their house was on a wall. We don't know. But he lets him out the window. He escapes. Maybe it's in the darkness of the night, but somehow he escapes. But the men don't know it. And so they go to the door. Saul says, we got to come in. We got to get David. Oh, he's sick in bed. Well, Saul says, then grab the bed and bring the bed to me so I can kill him. So they go upstairs and there's an idol in the bed. David is gone. An idol is there. But there is another attempt to persecute David and destroy his life. Michael lies. She says, when Saul comes to her and says, you deceived me. You let him go. He's my enemy. You let him go. He's my enemy, Saul says. Isn't that something? Who's Saul's primary enemy? Is it Goliath? Is it the Philistines? Is it the Ammonites? No. It's David. Man after God's own heart. David, whom we read in chapter 18, Saul knew the Lord was with him. Saul knew the Lord was with him, and he chooses that man to become his enemy. He hates him. He doesn't want the kingdom of God to prosper. He wants his own kingdom to be built up. And then we have the fourth act of persecution, the raid. Samuel flees his home, or David flees his home, and he goes to Samuel at Ramah and explains it all to Samuel. And Samuel says, let's go to Nioth. That was a camp where the prophets were meeting, maybe having a convention. But that's the camp where the prophets were meeting. And there's a snitch on Saul's side who finds out where he is. So Saul sends messengers out. Go get David. Go arrest him and bring him back so I can kill him. There we have the raid. So he sends a group of messengers. The messengers get close and start prophesying. He sends a second group of messengers. Same thing. He sends a third group of messengers. Same thing. They start prophesying. He says, I'm going to get him myself. Wait. If you fought against the Lord and you heard that the fighters became prophets for a moment, and you do that a second time, and you do that a third time, and you're so adamant you're going to destroy the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's man, that you finally go yourself. You are in such a position of hard-heartedness. It's a terrible thing to see how Saul is so bent on destroying the kingdom of Christ. He's so bent on rejecting the Lord's will who has told them the kingdom is going to be taken away from you and given to a man better than you. He's so bent on hatred. That is the way hatred works. When folly gets bound up in your heart, you can't let it go. It takes a miracle. We simply don't have the power to change ourselves. So there is Saul in this mode of persecution. But the Lord rescues David once again. Now, before we go to the second part, right? How the persecuted one is protected. This is an especially important chapter for Christians today. Think of the real lines that are being drawn here. A man on whom an evil spirit has descended. The spirit of Satan. And the man upon whom the spirit of the Lord has rushed and remained. David. That's what we read about him earlier. The spirit of the Lord rushed upon him and stayed with him. So we have the spirit of evil versus the spirit of the Lord or the spirit of Christ. The battle lines, the antithesis here, the forces of the Antichrist versus the Christ, the spirit of Christ. And this battle gets stronger and stronger and finally comes to its climax when Jesus Christ walks the earth and his enemies assault him and persecute him. And they do everything they can to get rid of him, although they can't until the time is right. His hour had not come, so God kept protecting him. But the scariest thing, congregation, is where the persecution came from in David's case and Jesus' case. Did it come from the Philistines? Did it come from the Ammonites? Where did it come from? The church. Saul, a man of the covenant. He's the primary enemy of David and then later David's men. In Jesus' case, who were his primary enemies? Who were his primary persecutors? Was it Pilate? Was it the Roman soldiers? It was the Sanhedrin. It was the church. The spirit of the Antichrist living in the church. In Western culture, who are the main opponents of the people of God today? Who are the main opponents of Christian truth and Christian families and Christian living and Christian holiness and the dignity of human life and godly sexuality and holding on to the truth of the Bible? It's not the Muslims. It's not the Hindus. It's not the Sikhs. It's the post-Christians. We have entered an era where persecution is becoming more and more open in our own society. And Peter says, don't be surprised when fiery trials come upon you. We should expect it. We should accept it. But we should not love it and embrace it. We've got to pray against it. Got to find our way through it. It's not an easy life that David had to live as a fugitive. But we got to stay faithful in it. David fled. But he did not lose faith. Isn't that right? He ran, but he did not relent of his position. He could have made a deal with Saul. Okay, Saul, you just let me be your secondhand man and I won't pursue the will of the Lord anymore. But he stayed faithful, even though it put his life in danger. And brothers and sisters, that's where we have to be in our lives. Even though your life may be in danger, or your job may be in danger, or your finances may be in danger, even though your freedom may be in danger, you must remain faithful in persecution. And that's what we see secondly. And trust your life to the Lord for protection. We see how the Lord protected David. Let's go through those four things again. The plot, the ambush, or the assault, the ambush, and the raid. Trouble came for David from all corners. But he entrusted his life to the Lord. We know that from the Psalms, because even though 1 Samuel 19 doesn't say it, the Psalms are David's devotional commentary on his persecution, how he handled his persecution. In fact, you can read that when you're at home, but Psalm 59 is a reflection on how David prayed that night when he was in the house surrounded by Saul's soldiers before Michael let him go or help him escape. Help me, O God. My enemies are surrounding me. Be with me. Protect me. Be my salvation. The Lord sent help for David from every corner. First of all, in the plot. Right? Saul and his men plot to kill David. Where does help come from? The king's son. No less than the king's son. He risked his life, Jonathan did, to speak to his father, Saul, and say, don't shed innocent blood. This is a good man, God's man. God has brought salvation to Israel through him. Don't do this. And the Lord raised up protection for David through no less than the king's son, one of the most powerful men in the land of that time. Second, with the assault. When the spear gets thrown at David, you don't stop a spear that's coming at you. You duck and you hope you duck the right way. You duck the wrong way, it's in your head. He eluded the spear. God protected him, not by having the spear go like this around his head, but by helping David slip away from it. And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus, who when the crowds gathered to throw him over the cliff, it says Jesus slipped through the crowds and went away. It's a miracle of God. It's the work of God's goodness and grace that he got out of there at all. But God was with him, and that was the key. We know that's the answer because in chapter 18, the first time he threw the spear, it says Saul threw the spear twice. David eluded him twice. And then Saul was afraid because he knew the Lord was with him. There's evidence of divine protection in this event. So in the plot, God kept him safe. In the assault, God kept him safe. And thirdly, in the ambush. When the house is surrounded by Saul's soldiers and Michal sets him free and lies for him, she's not a believing woman. Her house has got a giant idol in it that she puts in the bed. Later on, she turns on David. She's not a believing woman. But the Lord use this unbelieving wife for some reason to protect his servant David. The Lord's help can come from anywhere. And then the final event, the raid. That's the most amazing one. Saul sends three batches of messengers to go and raid Nile, the camp of the prophets, and arrest or capture David and take him home so he can kill him. First group, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and they start praying and preaching and prophesying. These evil men. Second group of antichrists, Saul's people that are on Saul's side to fight David, to fight the Lord. They come and they start prophesying. Third group, they come and start prophesying. And finally, Saul himself There's the big man. There's the big gun. He'll get the job done. It's not right unless I do it myself. And so he goes and do it. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he starts prophesying. Where does help come from? This time, God sends his Spirit on these evil men and they start preaching the gospel. And it reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. Some preach the gospel for good reasons. Others preach it out of envy for wrong reasons. But still, Christ is preached. This is not a converting or a regenerating spirit. But God overtakes the evil plans and pursuit of these men and of Saul. He overrules it. And he uses it for his glory to protect his servant David. People of God, the great comfort for you, his saints, is that no matter what comes against you in this world that hates you because it hates the Christ, never take it personally. They hate the Christ, and that's why they hate you and me. You are totally safe because God's promise is that he is with you. And he will protect you. And until your hour comes to die and go to heaven and be with the Lord, you will be safe here. Nobody will be able to get you. No plan against the Lord can succeed, the Bible says. The Lord surrounds the righteous with his favor as with a shield. When my enemies were too strong for me, David said in Psalm 18, you came. And you helped me. The Lord is the strength of his people. Thanks, Brother Ralph, for helping me in that. So take heart, dear Christians. Hold fast to the Lord. Keep your testimony pure. Don't cave to the demands of the wicked. Because all the wicked have for you is more hatred and final destruction. That's all they have for you if you give in to them. But the Lord has for you an everlasting kingdom. And that kingdom is worth fighting for. And you have his promise. He will keep you to the end. You are protected forever. You are safe with him. Let us serve the Lord, congregation, and not be afraid. And like David, hold fast to God in faith and trust our lives with him, knowing that with him you are always safe, and he will send you help from anywhere and from everywhere so that you can be a kingdom builder until it's your time to go home to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for David's faithfulness in the midst of persecution. We know that he could be faithful only because you were his God. You gave him faith and you strengthened him day by day when he strengthened himself in the Lord. Father, we praise you above all for David's son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was faithful to the end. And when we're persecuted for your name's sake, Lord Jesus, help us to remain faithful to you. Help us to remember that the future is with you, not with preserving our own lives or building our own kingdom. The future is with you and with your kingdom. So in that confidence, Lord, help us to be your faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.